So because I'm visual, when I was first laying this out, I told Mike, this looks like a kid's Sunday school coloring book thing that we put together. But because I'm visual, I wanted to bring a couple pictures to you of some of the things we're talking about post-resurrection. So they're on page 2 of your thing.
Goodness grown for color?
No. Not at 25 cents a copy. Terry would have been honest for that. But the first picture is one that you read about the scene of Jesus visiting the disciples and saying to Thomas, a week after he had been there the first time, Jesus appeared. Hi, fellas. Thomas isn't here right now. Thomas says, unless I, and it's a week later, so it's like they had to wait till the next Sunday. I don't know how that was working. But a week later, Jesus appeared and said, hey, come on, put your hand in my side, put your fingers in the nail holes. And so we have this picture. This is by Caravaggio, who was a painter a long time ago. And this is really one of my favorite classical paintings. And Dory's going to come and give us a lecture on it because she could do that much better than I could.
All right.
But what do you see in this picture that stands out to you? What thoughts kind of does it bring?
Really doubted.
You really doubted. Yeah.
Thomas is convinced.
Thomas is convinced.
Here, now.
Jesus' hand guides his hand right to the evidence.
Mm-hmm. Do you see Jesus' left hand on Thomas's wrist?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really powerful part of that picture for me.
And it looks to me like Thomas isn't looking. Yeah. He's looking something. He's looking not at the wound.
The other two are.
Yeah.
The other three. Jesus. Yeah, it does. It looks like he's looking at him. It almost looks like Thomas is in pain because he's hunched over and he's looking straight ahead and I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
There's compassion in Jesus' face.
And compassion in Jesus' face.
This is... Okay, I'm going to throw out some art history.
Here we go. Art historian Dory is among us.
This is actually, in the time that it was created, it was a very complex picture because the idea of showing wound or injury was considered very poor taste because it's dirty and... You know, that's how the poor experience life, not the rich. And the rich were looking at the art at this time. And especially on a Jesus figure, to have a wound show to where they're actually entering the wound, this was a huge controversial piece. Because the image of Jesus being wounded and then having someone touch the wound was such a taboo. Because the image of Jesus was to be pristine and beautiful. And so to have, you know, this kind of a contact created so much controversy in the time.
So, what year is this painting?
It's 17th century. So.
This is not why Dory is my friend. But I really like it that my friend Dory knows stuff like this. All right? Here's what I wanted to remind you. You read it tonight at your tables. But this scene is concluded with these words of Jesus. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So every one of us, and everyone from here back to that scene in that room, who have believed are blessed because we have not seen and yet we have believed. Is our blessing greater than Thomas's? In some ways I would like to think yes. The competitive nature in me would like to say, hey Thomas, guess what? I didn't have to see it. But I wanted us to take a look at this scene and to think about this tonight. That we were not there and we did not put our finger in the side of Jesus. And we are blessed because we didn't have to do that to believe. And so let that be an encouragement. I want to move to another scene that is recorded in John. And I found another picture that is not nearly as compelling as the one above. But this story of what happened on the beach just captures me. Imagine from the standpoint of the disciples. They've been told to wait. They've been told that things are going to change and whatever else. But there's got to be a time when Simon Peter looks at them and says, you know what? I'm going fishing. Was he bored? Was he frustrated? Was he uncertain of the future? Was he disillusioned? Was he just returning to something that he knew how to do? Because everything is different now. Jesus has died, and now we've seen a resurrected Jesus, and now we're waiting to see what happens next. I'm going fishing. So he says, I'm going out to fish. And the other guys say, you know what? We're not doing anything today. We'll go too. And so they go out and they fish all night long and caught nothing. And early in the morning, Jesus stood at the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. And he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? Dude, we've been out all night. We've got nothing. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. And when he said that, cast your net on the other side of the boat, don't you think that the hair started to stand up on their necks? Wait a minute. We've heard that one before. So they do. They cast their net on the other side of the boat. They bring up this huge haul of fish. And they're unable to haul it in. So you see in the picture where they're not even bringing the net into the boat. They're just kind of dragging it up on the shore. And there are a handful of miracles recorded all at once here. First of all, the huge catch of fish. Secondly, the net didn't break, which was a miracle. And third, there were 153 large fish in there. Now, I have searched high and low for the symbolic number of 153. Guess what? There were 153 fish. That's all we get. All right? There's nothing in here other than 153 fish.
But they're all large.
But they're all large. Yes.
I mean, it's not a, I got a fish this big.
Story. No. They caught their limit, basically. So Peter heard John say, it is the Lord, and he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water, and the disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore. When they landed, there they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said, bring some of those fish that you caught, and they put those on the fire too. And they sat there and had breakfast with Jesus in his glorified body, yet still somehow flesh. Who could eat? Who could sit? Talk with them? Laugh with them? Just like he had for those years prior. What gets me about this scene is that it was normal. That's what gets me, really. That we just come and we're with him and it's just pretty much like it was before, except that part about him being dead for 3 days and then back. But that it's not this drastic change in how they relate to Jesus. It's not this drastic change in how Jesus relates to them. We're back to something that looks like normal. Hey, you guys, come over here, have something to eat. And Jesus ate with them too, proving that this is not an apparition, this is not a ghost, this is really what we're seeing, that he is really, really here. When they landed, They saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said, come on over here and have breakfast.
So it implies that Jesus started the fire and got the food cooking.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are the resurrection and the post-resurrection things that I wanted to engage you on tonight. We're going to talk about the ascension next week when we talk about Acts. The ascension is another fascinating story to me. But as Mike and I were talking about tonight, we really came to see resurrection as something that we must respond to, because this is where things started new for the disciples, and it's where things start new for us as well. So Mike's going to come and talk about what he's going to talk about.